The book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I don't know what those friends or foes were doing when he was singing about them, but sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. I want to know who y'all were looking at when you both said amen. All right. Each other. Amen. Well, it's good. It is so good to be here tonight. I love Wednesday night services where we can gather with each other around the Word of God to sing His praises and to spend time in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're actually going to read from verse 22 in chapter 1 all the way down through verse 10 in chapter 2. We're really going to focus in on one particular verse, but we want to get the sense of what's going on here. And like many of the letters that we read, this letter written by Peter, and in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 1, it's a salutation. Like when you write a letter, you give your salutation, your greetings, blessing. In verses 3 through 12, he talks about how we're born again. He talks really about the benefits of our salvation, that when your faith is in Christ, you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ, and how you have new life in him. And then starting at verse 13, there's the challenge to be holy. And so he really moves in from talking about our benefits of salvation to how we ought to live because of our salvation. And by the way, when you study the New Testament, especially the letters, the epistles, you see that pattern a lot where the principles, the truths are there first, and then later the practicalities, the application. And so we see that same thing here in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you're able, will you stand with me tonight? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, the Word of God says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Can I just ask you this? If you've obtained mercy from Christ, would you say amen?
Amen.
And these verses that we just read are incredibly rich. They are deeper than we could ever get to the depth of in our lifetime. So I'm going to try really hard not to get sidetracked too much. We're going to focus in on a few verses, But let me encourage you to read back through these again, even tonight before you go to bed. We have great riches because of the mercy of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you have given us life through faith in him. And I pray anyone hearing this message who is dead in their trespasses and sins, those who have not obtained mercy, that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief and trust in Christ alone. Call on your name and be saved. Lord, for those who are saved, help us to realize the riches we have in Christ. Give us a desire to grow by your word. And please help me now, Lord, for I am nothing without you. And I pray you'll bless tonight. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We had to back up to verse 22, and just to be honest, you really need to back up to verse 1 to really get the flow, get the context. But for sake of time, starting at verse 22, just back up there real quick. Chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And so we start by understanding tonight that we, if this letter is written to those who are born again, those who have repented of their sin, put their faith in Christ. And so if you've never done that, then the plea for you tonight is that you would turn away from your sin and unbelief, that you would turn to God, that you would put your faith in Christ alone, that you would be born again by faith. You cannot be good enough to save yourself. You cannot be good enough to keep yourself saved. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And so we need to understand that he died to pay for our sins. He rose again, and you can only be saved through faith in Christ. Now, to those of you who have put your faith in Christ alone, you are born again. You are, in fact, now new creatures in Christ. Not that you will be one day, but the moment you trust in Christ, you are made new. You are a new creature in Christ. He put his Spirit in you and he made you alive. You are born again. And it's not through corruptible seed. It's not through the word of men. It's not through man's wisdom and man's ideas. It's through the living, eternal word of God. And could somebody just tell me real quick, what is the living and eternal word of God? What is it? Somebody just hold up your Bible, please. Just like... This is the living and eternal word of God. When we look into the scriptures, we are looking into the living word. When we look into the scriptures, we're looking at the eternal word. And so the Bible is the living and eternal word of God. And if you're born again, it's only by the living word of God. Amen. And he says, if you've been born again through the living word, that you would love one another fervently out of a pure heart. In other places, the scriptures tell us that God's apostles, the messengers of God, they didn't have to tell people to have brotherly love because you're taught of God to do that. When you're born again, the Spirit of God in you, it moves you to love the brethren. Amen. And 1 John tells us that if you say that you're a Christian, if you say that you're saved, if you say that you have eternal life, but you don't love the brothers, then you are not saved. You're lying. So you can't be born again and not love the brethren. Everybody with me? We have to love each other. If we don't love each other, then we're not born again. And if we are born again, we will love each other. But then the scriptures tell us to grow in that love. It's there because the Spirit of God is in us. And so we have a new nature that moves us to love, but we have to grow in that love, abound in that love. And we have to move away from Philadelphia love to agape love. This first love that he mentions there in verse 22 is that Philadelphia, it's a brotherly love, and then it moves that unfeigned love of the brethren. It's genuine love for brothers, but then he moves at the end of the verse to agape love. And not just any godly love, not just any sacrificial love, but a love that is out of a pure heart. Amen. And a love that is fervent, a love that is passionate, a love that is red hot, white hot for each other, that we love each other intensely. And that's what he wants us to move to. So if you're born again, we will love one another and we're to grow in that love. And we talked, seems like we just talked about this the other day, but some of you have been married a real long time and you love each other more now than you did in the beginning. And some of you, I mean, you were just love struck in the beginning. I mean, some of you weren't, but some of you were love struck in the beginning. And you thought back then, 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago, you thought, I'll never be able to love them more than I do right now. But now you're where you are now, and you look back and you say, I love them more now than I ever did before. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be for us Christians. It's the way it ought to be in our love for each other. I would like to say that we ought to love each other in this church, in this local church, that way, in a growing love, but really for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are, that our love for others would grow and grow. And then I want you to look at verse 1. We got to kind of move quickly here because we've got to get to verse 2 and spend some time there. Verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. He says, wherefore. What does that mean? Go back to what he just said. Remember at the end of chapter 1, verses 23, 24, and 25, he's speaking about the Word of God that lives and endures forever. So the living and eternal Word of God, because you've been born again by the Word of God, put away sin out of your life. Amen. He says, laying aside evil, all guile, envyings, all envyings, evil speakings. So sins in our heart, sins in our mind, sins out here that we do. He says, put it all away. Lay it all aside. The same word is used all over the scriptures. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 real quick. Maybe just here on the screen. Romans 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. This is the same word that's the phrase that's translated laying aside is the same thing where he says cast off. Cast off the works of darkness. Put those things away from you. You are a new creature in Christ. Remember, because you're born again, because that happened by the word of God, love each other and put sin out of your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 25, Ephesians 4, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This phrase, laying aside, is used twice in these verses. In verse 22, it's put off concerning the former conversation. What's conversation? That's your lifestyle. That's your behavior. Put off the way you used to live. Amen. Don't live that way anymore. Put on the new man. It's that same phrase is used again in verse 25, putting away lying. And so the way we used to live without Christ, we lay it aside. We put it off. We cast it off. We get rid of it because we're putting on the new man. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You're a new man in Christ, so love each other and put sin out of your life. Again, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you're going to do this, put off the old man, put on the new man. If you're going to put off the former conversation, the lust, and put on the new man, if you're going to put off the sin and the weight that besets you, you're going to have to do it by looking to Jesus. And can I just remind you that the way you're going to know Jesus is through his word. Amen. You know the word of God by the word of God. You know the God of the word by the word of God. That's how we know him. And so I'm going to look to him. I don't just look to him in my mind. I don't look to him in my heart. I find him in his scriptures. Look to the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. So we look to the word of God to look to Jesus. Let me give you one more to consider when we're talking about laying aside, putting off, casting off these sinful behaviors. James 1. In verse 21, James 1, 21. Most of us are familiar with James 1, the end of chapter 1, where he talks about be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Remember that? But before that, he says, wherefore, lay apart, same word, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You see, this idea of putting off sin, putting off wicked lifestyles and wicked thoughts and wicked behaviors, this whole concept is always going to be put it off by looking to the Word. It's always going to go back to the Word. Receive the Word. Look to the Word. And so we are born again by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Because of that, we love one another. We grow in that love. And then we put the evil out of our lives and then look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The command in this word, in this verse, the imperative is the word desire. That's the command. Everything else around it is pointing back to it. It's supporting it. And so desire is the command. God is telling you and I to desire his word. Now, could you just raise your hand? If you've ever lived with a newborn baby in your house, would you just raise your hand for a second? Let me see that. Ever lived with a newborn baby in your house? All right. Babies cry for all kinds of reasons. Some of you have had babies who were spoiled from birth. They're selfish, petulant little things. Self-absorbed. They don't care about anybody but themselves. Right? Some of you had spoiled kids who cried because you laid them down for 2 seconds. They have to always be held. Everybody's pointing at Hannah. That's... Yes. Some of you, obviously babies, don't like to have dirty diapers. They don't like to have that. They cry about that. They cry about a lot of different things. But I just want to tell you that from experience, I would like to say that I think that a baby crying because they're hungry is a different thing. Amen. It's different. Amen. It's a different kind of cry. It's a different kind of desire. It's something that it doesn't matter. There's nothing that can fix it. It's feed me. It's feed me. And I promise you, that baby, if it could say, it would say, feed me or I will kill you. Feed me or die. Babies, when they're hungry, make really unnatural sounds. Like, how could that come? You know what? Babies are precious. Amen. They're sweet. I mean, yes, they stink, but they're sweet and they're soft and they're snuggly. But then they're hungry and they're something else. I'm just trying to paint the picture. He says, as newborn babes, like this is the picture that he's trying to paint, that remember we're talking about the milk and this isn't something new. We've seen it a few times already, haven't we? In Hebrews, we read that the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again because you're not ready for the meat. You need milk again. We've seen it a couple of times. He told the church of Corinth, he said, I can't give you meat because you're carnal. I have to keep giving you milk. And so this picture continues, and Peter picks up the same analogy here, but here he says, desire. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, but do that in the same way newborn babies desire milk. I mean, cry out for it as though nothing else will satisfy you. Cry out for it as though your very life depends on it. Understand that there's nothing that can satisfy you except for the Word of God. Amen. Not another YouTube video, not being distracted by some form of entertainment, not listening even to somebody preach necessarily, but I have to have the Word of God. I need to study it. I need to read it. Yes, I need to hear it preached, but I need the Word of God. I have to have the Word of God. It's what gives me life. Listen, God put that in the heart and mind and wisdom, gave the wisdom to a baby to know I have to have milk to live. The baby knows that. It's in them. It's in their nature. They have to have it, and they know. Listen, you can't trick them. You can't, when they're hungry, give them your finger. Go ahead. Give them their little passy. Give them that passy and see if it works. Give them something that there's nothing there. You can't fool them. They know the only thing that will work is milk. Amen. And we've got to understand that we're never going to have life outside of the Word of God. We've got to desire it. Desire it. Romans chapter 7. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, so many times we point to Romans 7, and I do this all the time. I just think about that war in his members, right? I got the flesh over here. I got the spirit over here, and there's war going all the time. Sin's always present with me. I always think about that. But in the middle of it all, he says, I delight in the law of God. I delight in the Word of God. I find joy in the Word of God in my inner man. Job says that he esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. Amen. I need the Word of God more than I want food. And we're Baptists. We like food. Can I get an amen? Come on. I mean, our mascot is a casserole, for crying out loud. So, I mean, that's who we are. How many of you know what memes are? Or you know what a meme is? Listen, Brother Tom Palmer knows what a meme is. You ought to all know what a meme is by now. One of my favorite memes of all times is the Baptists who believe in miracles because it's got a picture of donuts and fried chicken and all that stuff and says, Baptists believe in miracles because they see all that and they're like, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Like, if you think God can bless that to the nourishment of your body, you got to believe in miracles. I mean, we love food, but Job said, I esteemed your word, the words from your mouth. Listen, he recognized that the word of God came from the mouth of God. It was his word. And he said, it's more important to me. It's more necessary to me. It's better to me. It's greater to me. I desire it more than the food I have to live. Amen. We got to learn to love the word of God. Psalm 1. Verses 1 through 3, Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the blessed man. He'll go on to tell you about the wicked man who doesn't love the word of God. That's the difference. When we love the word of God, delight in the word of God, this idea to desire is the same thing we see in the Old Testament. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. That desire, that longing for God, it's that same idea, the same concept of the word, to long for God more than anything else, to love his word, to desire his word. And it's a command, friends. Listen, some of you are like, well, I don't really like to read my Bible. Well, God says to desire it. Amen. Well, I don't. Well, then you need to. And I'm going to try to help you with some practicalities in a moment. It comes straight from what we've already talked about to get there. But we need to desire the Word of God. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We ought to desire the word of God. I'd love to take the time to just stop right now. It'd take all night, but we would do well to get to Psalm 119 and read the entire thing. Psalm 119 probably has more to say about the Bible than any other book or chapter you could turn to. The 119th Psalm, let me just give you a couple. Verse 35 says, "Make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Psalm 119:72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Amen. We ought to desire the word of God, have a delight in the word of God, love the word of God. You know, you can walk through the scriptures. We read just a couple of these, but we're commanded to meditate on the word in Psalm 19, to hide it in our heart in Psalm 119, to search the scriptures in Acts 17, to wield it as a sword in Ephesians 6, to study it in 1 Timothy 2, to read it in 1 Timothy 4, and teach it in 1 Timothy 4, to preach it in 2 Timothy 4. So we're to meditate on the word, to hide it in our heart, to search it, to wield it, to study it, to read it, to teach it, to preach it. We're supposed to do all those things with the word of God, but we'll never do any of those things with the word of God if we don't first desire the word of God. Amen. It all starts with this. Because you're born again, not only do we have a love for each other, but we get a love for God. He just changes us. The things that we used to love and delight in, he says, throw those things in the trash and put on the new man. And how do I do that? Because I'm in the Word. I'm in the Word. Have a desire. He says to desire the sincere milk. The sincere milk. That is undeceitful. It's pure milk. And what is the milk? Again, remember we saw Hebrews 5:12, "You become as such as need of milk and not of strong meat." Hebrews 5:13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful." He's pointing to these truths of the Word of God, the basic truths. We ought to have a desire for the Word. A desire for the Word. Why? So that you can grow. Amen. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Sincere milk. Not mixed with any measure of deceit. I think it's interesting that he tells us to have a desire for not deceitful milk. That means that we're not deceived by false doctrine. I think it also means that we don't deceive ourselves. I don't know about you, but I think I'm my own worst enemy. People talk about the devil, talk about the demons, talk about atheists, talk about militant atheists, people who hate Christians. You can talk about all that all day long you want to, but I think I'm my own worst enemy. And I think that if I'm not very careful, then I can take the scriptures and I can wrest them, I can twist them, and I can make it deceitful. I can make it impure. I can make it not pure. And so I want to take the pure word of God and let it say what it says. Amen. And whatever it says, I put myself in obedience to it. Amen. I put myself under the word of God. Amen. And I let it grow me. And by the way, growing's not always easy. Amen. Any of you guys ever have growing pains growing up? Some of you guys... Kids wake up in the middle of the night crying, go in there and rub their legs till they go back to sleep. I remember having them when I was a kid. I'll be honest with you, I'd take them again if I could grow just a couple more inches. Not going to lie. Those growing pains, growing up's not always easy. I mean, we all heard it, growing up is hard to do. It's not always going to be easy. The things that God's Word gives you is not always going to set well with you. Amen. But it's necessary. It's necessary so you can grow up. Amen. Let me just recap by this. I'm going to give you these five things. Because I think we need to be honest with ourselves tonight. Can you be honest with yourself and before God tonight? Let me ask you this question. Do you desire the Word of God? And I think any of us who are saved, we'd like to say, yeah, I desire the Word of God. I want the Word of God. But do we desire it in the same way that newborn babies desire milk? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I've been saved for a little bit now, and I don't always desire the Word of God the way that I should. I think that if we're honest, we would all have to say that. Sometimes I'd rather eat than read my Bible. Sometimes I'd rather sleep than read my Bible. Sometimes I'd rather watch something on TV or scroll through social media than read my Bible. It's a command to desire it because we need the command. If he just made it happen automatically, he wouldn't have to tell us to do it. So he tells us to do it. So we have the conviction of the Spirit. We have the command of the Word of God that says, listen, if I'm not desiring the Word of God, then I need to start desiring the Word of God. So one, remind yourself that you have life through the Word of God. Amen. I want more of the Word of God because it's what gave me life. It's how I know Jesus. It's how I know the truth. So I remind myself, I remember, hey, I've been born again by the living Word of God. It's the internal Word of God. And so I need to remind myself every day that this is the living Word of God that's given me life. Two, put away the sin in your life. Listen, sin in your life, unconfessed and unrepented sin in your life, will hamper your desire. It will quench your desire, your thirsting for the things of God. It will put a barrier between you and your Savior. Don't allow sin to stick around in your life. If you are here tonight and you think that you don't have any sin, then you're sinning just by thinking that. We all have sin. If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar. The truth isn't in him. So what do? We recognize the reality and we put it away. How do we do that? When you mess up, fess up. When you sin, be quick to repent, be quick to confess, be quick to go to God. You say, yeah, but I do it 1,000 times a day. Then repent 1,000 times a day. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, be quick to go back to God. Put away the sin in your life. Put the things out of your life. Whatever it takes. It's different today. It used to be a time that if a man wanted to get rid of sin in his life, he might get some magazines out of his closet and burn them in the backyard. There might have been a time in somebody's life when they wanted to get rid of some sin in their life. They might throw some movies or some CDs or some other things, some paraphernalia, they'd throw it in the trash. To get rid of some sin in their life, they might have to pour some bottles down the sink. Is everybody with me right now? Understand what I'm saying? In this digital age in which we live today, I think it's getting more difficult to get rid of the sin. Because a lot of us, if we're really honest, the sin that we're struggling with, we carry around in our pockets. But we have to figure out a way to put it away, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, put it away. Number one, remind yourself you have life through the Word of God. Number two, put away the sin in your life. Number three, take ownership of the reality that you need the Word like a baby needs milk. Like, just realize it, admit it, take ownership of it. You need it. If you're sitting here tonight and thinking, listen, I don't need milk anymore, I'm way too mature for that, then you need to wake up and realize that we need it. We need it. We cannot live without it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So remind yourself you have life through the Word. Put away the sin in your life. Realize or admit or take ownership of the reality that you need the Word like a baby needs milk. Number four, pursue spiritual growth. We're doing this, desiring this, that we may grow thereby. desire spiritual growth. We live in a country today where a lot of people are seeking to grow mentally. They want more education. I want to know more things. I want to get more degrees. I want to learn more. I want to grow mentally. We have a lot of people in this country who want to grow physically. They want to grow in the sense of dieting and exercising and becoming more fit. They want to become more strong physically. We need to be a people who have a desire to grow spiritually. Amen. I think it's great to grow mentally. I think it's great to be healthy physically. I think all of that's good, but it's not going to help you much if you're not growing spiritually. Amen. We have to keep our priorities straight. Have a desire to grow spiritually. Pursue it. Exercise yourself towards spiritual growth. And number five, taste of the Lord's graciousness. Taste of the Lord's graciousness. We read in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Look at verse 3. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The more I think about the graciousness of God, the more I want to know him. If you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then learn of his righteousness, and you'll want to know more. Taste of his graciousness. The word, if so be, in the Greek is an interesting word. It's translated, at least in one place, seeing. So this verse could be translated, seeing ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Either way, the truth remains. If it's true, or because it's true, then you want to grow by the word of God. Amen. Desire the sincere milk of the word. By the grace of God, he goes on to talk about the cornerstone that was rejected of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's made you living stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, so you can offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You can do things in your life that are acceptable to God. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that you can show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The graciousness of God, if you've tasted it, then you ought to desire to grow more. Tonight, we're going to have a verse invitation. I want to ask musicians to come. And while they're coming, I want to ask you to stand with me. And can I just ask you to be real honest with yourself tonight? What do you desire more right now in your life, day after day? What do you love more? What do you desire more? What do you crave more than the Word of God? And I get it. Some days it's good, some days it's not. But if you just take stock of the last 7 days of your life, the last 30 days of your life, the last 90 days, the last 52 weeks, if you look back and you consider how much have I loved the Word of God, how much have I desired the sincere milk of the Word, if you're honest with yourself, how much have you loved it? How much have you desired it? What do you love more than the Word of God? I just want to ask you to repent with me, because I don't always love God's Word like I should, and I don't always desire it like I should, but we have a command from God, and if we haven't been desiring it, we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us tonight. God, forgive me for not desiring your Word. He told us to. And so I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to be serious with God. To be honest with yourselves. Don't deceive yourself tonight. Be honest with yourself and with God tonight. And if you haven't desired his word, ask him to forgive you and ask him to help you to love his word. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing. Page 559.